Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 308. My name's Turner Sparks.
I'm Michael Van Kaplan.
Wow. How you doing? Going local. You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram, putting up new stand-up comedy videos. And I'm going to start doing sketch videos. Somebody told me you have to do sketch videos.
I like it.
Because they're like, you're going to run out of stand-up comedy. Well, it's much easier to just be like goofy and do a camera.
But you have the idea of, do they know that you just take your comedy bits and then just have your wife react to them? And that's a whole other clip. So
That's my genius idea now. You get double the amount of videos. Your wife reacts to your jokes that are about her. But it's hard to get her. She's not always in on doing it.
Like, you got to like surprise her.
She's like, I got other stuff going on. I don't really care about your career.
All right.
So these people assume that your spouse is like wants to be supportive on camera all the time.
Yeah. They want to be a star.
Supportive. Yeah. There's not a lot of that. It's more like, what are you bugging me with? So anyway, I got other things I got to do. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on all social media platforms. Cap'n NYC. If you're looking, he moonlights as a real estate agent.
You want to buy some real estate in the New York City area, any neighborhood you want, I'm in.
I'll say this. If you all share this podcast to all your friends, he won't have to do real estate anymore.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
If I can make money off this podcast, then you could get real estate somewhere else. But
breaking news, Kaplan's passion in life was not to be a real estate agent. It's to be a podcaster.
Oh, since I was a young boy. Since I was 4 years old, I wanted to be a podcaster.
You wanted a podcast. Yeah.
I want a podcast.
You said at some point there's going to be a thing called the internet.
Yeah. So I was talking to a microphone to myself. So anyway.
So on the show today, we're talking about the idea of Flemish independence movement. Mm. Now, a lot of you people in America are saying what is those words? Yeah. I understand the second word, independence. But then Flemish, this is Belgium, the country of Belgium. You remember them with the chocolate and then the mussels from Brussels?
The waffles. Yeah, they got beer. Yeah.
Oh, they have waffles too. I forgot about the waffles.
They have waffles and dingus chucks. They're all over the city. Belgian waffles.
All over. I don't know.
Expensive way to make a waffle. The Belgians figured out.
Yeah. Because it's deeper.
Deeper.
I think that's the only real difference. Anyway, point is, they might break apart as a country. And so we have Michael Van Peel, a comedian currently in Antwerp from Belgium, is going to be joining us in a few minutes to explain the entire independence movement to us and everything that's going on with that. But before that, Kaplan, if you want to support this show, if you want Kaplan to stop selling real estate, go to patreon.com/lostinamerica. Now, I know what you're wondering. You go, you guys have ads. You're a big city podcast.
Yeah, we do.
People advertise on there. You sell CBD for dogs.
The best CBD.
We do, and that's great, but that doesn't, you know, it does a bit. It does help, but if you want to help us more, which I think you probably do, patreon.com/lostinamerica, and we give you stuff. So we do, Kaplan and I, besides this podcast, we do 1-2 times a week, a Full Throttle comedy podcast, just me and Cap, talking about our lives, called Lost in the Bunker. That is at patreon.com/lostinamerica. For $5 a month, you get access to that show. Not only that, we just released a what they call a sizzle reel in the biz in Hollywood land. Yes. And that is essentially a trailer for the show, the pilot episode we filmed
of our TV show.
Of our TV show last year, where we went to El Salvador and found out what life was like to live in a country where Bitcoin is your currency. We just put out the sizzle. It is on YouTube right now, but in a private link. The only people who have access to it are our Patreon subscribers. You can get that right now. We're about to put out very soon, I would say within the week, we're going to put out a new cut of our full pilot, 44-minute episode. That will be available only to our Patreon subscribers. So there's so much stuff we're doing all the time just for Patreon subscribers. $5 a month minimum gets you in. $10 a month gets you a t-shirt commemorating the time we went to number one in Armenia.
One of the great moments in world history.
Yes. And then more and more and more stuff.
$20 a month gets you an ad, a free ad on this show.
Your own ad on this show.
Whatever you want.
You want to be the new dog CBD thing.
If you want to take a stand on Flemish independence, if you want to sell us, you want to sell a product, anything you want, we'll read it. Just $20 a month.
We'll read it. If you want to, you know, support Vladimir Putin.
Done.
We don't agree with it, but we'll, for $20 a month.
$20 a month, we'll buy my kids what? A shoe?
We'll agree to anything for $20 a month.
Exactly. So yeah, we'll do it. So that's the perk. So sign
that's
up,
it,
please.
That's it, Kaplan. All right, let's get to today's episode. Yeah. What do you know about this entire thing of Belgium, the Flemish independence, the whole movement, all of it?
I mean, I know, I always knew that Belgium was a confusing country to figure out. I knew that they spoke French, sort of. They didn't speak French. I didn't know anything, to be honest, going in.
You're really stumbling here.
I really didn't know much, but I've learned that apparently it's the classic thing. It's a north-south. You know, in the north, you got the, you get to more far right, I guess. It's more nationalist. They want to leave. They want to leave.
Is that a classic thing?
No, that's where I mixed up. That's not a classic. It's just the north south part's where I met. That's the classic.
Do you want me to take over here?
So the north is the Flemish, the Flanders, you know, Flemish speaking, which I didn't even know was the same as Dutch, or maybe it's not the same as Dutch. That's gonna be my first question today. I'm gonna find out once and for all. And they want to leave. There's a movement to leave the country. They want to get rid of. Who likes the French? Nobody likes the French. They don't want to.
Pause here, because I do think you're confusing our audience. So I just want to clear it up a little bit. Mm. You're running around in circles.
I don't know.
The north of the country speaks Flemish, which some people call Dutch, I think.
Yeah.
But those might be two different languages. The south, for sure, I know this. In the south, they speak French.
Yes.
That's the dividing line, right? For our American people, think of French Canada versus, you know, real Canada.
Fancy part.
Yeah. And then also, to confuse it even more, there's one thing way off to the left, you know, on my map. I think it's called the east.
The right.
They speak German out there. There's German people speaking.
And they have a government where, you know, we know that the EU is, you know, based in Brussels, right?
The European Union is based in Brussels.
So you think it's
in the north.
Like, I always thought Belgium was a really well-functioning country. Like, that's how I just assumed. It's like a very civilized place in the world. But I've learned that they have like a 500 days it took them to form a coalition last time. Their government's a real mess. So that's that. A lot of infighting, a lot of different parties. It's one of these, you know.
What's that part? I don't know that part. Anyway.
Yeah. Well they've been a parliament. You know, they have a parliament.
We do have a guest here who knows way more about this than us. Should we bring him in, Captain?
Yeah, let's bring him in.
This man is named Michael Van Peel. fantastic stand-up comedian based in Belgium, tours all over Europe. You can follow him on Instagram at, it's just his name, Michael Van Peel, P-E-E-L is how you spell his last name. Good work on him getting in there early, getting his own name. Michael, welcome to the show. What did we get right? What did we get wrong in describing of your, in the description of your country? Is it a classic case of North versus South?
Hi guys. Well, it's beautiful to hear you like talking about this imaginary fairyland, which is the country I live in, basically. Yes. But no, it's you get it pretty much okay, I guess.
Pretty much okay. Sort
of. You don't have to be nice. Except, you don't have to be nice.
Except you use the word government in singular. Well, it's plural. We have like around five or six governments.
That's what I meant. That's what's confusing.
Like you didn't mean government. That. You didn't know what you were talking. What do you mean? That's what I meant. Oh yeah, that's like a kid who's like, oh, that's I knew the answer once you told it to me.
Exactly. But yeah, it's a good estimate, like one or five or six, maybe.
So what is that? Can I ask, what does that mean? You have five governments.
That's a very good question. Nobody really knows, and you're not supposed to ask. But we have the luxury of being a fairly wealthy country, although nobody would say that about their own country. So we can afford not having government for 541 days, to be exact. We hold
that's
the
what
current Guinness Book of World Record on being a country without government. On 541 days, we stole that record from Iraq, Cambodia, and Mozambique. Those are
congratulations. The big three of four. Functional government.
The Mount Rushmore.
We humiliated Iraq.
We got to go back into Iraq. We got to invade again to create some chaos so we can break the record.
Good luck.
500. When? What? How long ago was that?
541 days is, I believe, 2008 until 2009, because that's a year
recent.
And a half.
Okay. Yeah. This wasn't like the 1800s.
Yeah. No, it's getting worse. It's getting worse because we have around six governments, five or six, depending on how many governments are in office.
So you have three languages from what
you
I
really want me to explain this to you, because this
I do.
Be a really long podcast.
No, we have time. Our audience is interested.
Well, actually, you were talking about the German-speaking part, which everybody always forgets, including us. We're always talking about the North versus the South and the French-speaking versus the Dutch-speaking or the Flemish-speaking. And we always forget about the Germans because it's only like 60,000 people and they're just waiting until the next time, maybe. The next time the Flemish says, then we have our own country.
Uh-oh,
so we always
hear
joke
that, Kaplan?
About them. But we used to call this a Belgian solution. You know, we have had different reforms which got us here. And a Belgian solution is a solution that is so complicated that everybody thinks they got the better part, and this keeps the peace.
Mm.
So this is why we haven't had like a real war or altercation in.
That's the key to negotiation, they say. Everybody thinks they won, right?
Exactly. That's successful. A Belgian solution. The thing is, it costs a lot of money, though, because, of course, a certain percentage of your population is in government. If you have six governments and only 10 million people.
What are the six governments? Like the Wallonia region? Because I did read the Wallonia, which is the southern region, was able to defeat a trade deal, I guess, with Canada, was able to block
true.
It.
True. That's true. Exactly.
So I didn't understand. Yeah. That's what confused me. I didn't understand how one. So they all, what are the six ones and what are their powers? They have equal powers. How does that work?
Well, this is the part where it gets interesting, because you would think there's like a hierarchy, like you guys got a federal government and then state governments. We don't really have the hierarchy. That is to say, states
that's
have equal equal
the states
parts
equal in, to the government federal.
Yeah, sort of. And also we've divided them in regions, so geographically, but also by language. So there's a government for the French-speaking part, and there's a government for the South, which is mostly French-speaking, but also has some German-speaking. Okay. And they have different, they're responsible for different parts. So for example, if you have a school, then the teachers fall under the Flemish government, but the school building will fall under the Flemish, not the Flemish-speaking government, but the Flemish government.
Yeah, wow.
Now, the North has merged these governments, so the language and the region fall together in Flanders. But in the South, it's not that. It's still different. So there's still the French-speaking part, the Wallonian part. Then there's a German-speaking part, which goes, it has its own government for the language, but not for the region. And then there's Brussels, which is a city, but has its own Huvest, it's called. So its own region, so its own government. So we get a Flemish government, a French-speaking government, a Walloon government, a Brussels government, and a German-speaking government, and a federal government. That's six.
So and none of
chart
makes six,
and none of them have power
and
over the
by
other
the way
one?
We have as much inhabitants, I think, as greater New York. About 10
you only have how many people in it? Like 10 million, 12 million,
12
people?
Million.
Yeah,
11. Yeah.
Yeah. 11, exactly.
Wow.
So you guys got one mayor, right?
Yeah, yeah, we do.
I mean,
and one police department, maybe. Yeah, exactly.
How much? Yeah.
Wait, so, and none of those, no one has power over the other one. Like, who can override? Is there one umbrella government that runs everybody?
Like the prime minister?
No, that's the thing. But there are, of course, there are, how do you say, like responsibilities. So like one government, like the federal government decides about the army and pensions, if I'm still right. I mean, actually, I'm explaining this to you, but I will give you, I can assure you, like 98% of Belgians don't even know how many governments we have.
Well, that's good, because then no one can fact check our podcast.
Say what you want.
There you go. I mean, you can Wikipedia it, but you can put in there whatever you like. So, but it's so complicated. We even have elections, and I guarantee you, if you go, we're one of the few countries, I think, where you're obliged to go and vote. So you have to vote. You have to vote. You can't. You don't even register to vote. You just have to vote. Every citizen has to.
How do they know if you voted or not? Like, they make you like prove it somewhere.
We don't dip our finger in ink like in certain other countries, but we get registered. Of course, you just give your. Everybody has a mandatory ID card. Also in Belgium, that's also. It's starting to sound like a socialist fascist country.
That's a very problem. In America, they wouldn't go for that. That's problematic.
I know. I love the States, but we have very different opinions on the. Freedom and guns and stuff.
I mean, I agree with you on the voting.
But
thing,
they have to vote, and they don't know even what they're voting for. Like, they don't know how the government works.
That's what I would like. Like, they know that. Of course, they know who they're voting for, but it's more like a popularity contest than anything else. So basically, most people wouldn't know which government they actually were voting for. Like European government, because we get those elections too. European, federal, or Flemish. Most people wouldn't know. Even I sometimes wouldn't know. Just like, yeah, this guy looks all right. Looks the part.
I'll just vote for him. Can we go back?
Sure.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Oh, sorry. No. I forgot. We also have a king, by the way.
Oh, yes. Wait.
Yeah. A king and a queen.
I remember.
This country before.
I was telling you off air, but for the audience, when I was living in China, I had a roommate named Freddie. Mm-hmm. And I cannot remember his last name at all. But I remember him telling
from
me.
Antwerp.
Yeah. From Antwerp.
Fred from Antwerp.
Long time, first time.
And I remember he was kind of odd. He went by Freddy Space Rocket. That's how he would like tell everyone his name. And I remember Freddy always making fun of the king, saying the king was a little using the R word, the word you're not supposed to use these days.
Yeah.
Is the king inbred?
Yes, they all are because they're European kings. So
that's punching up, though. You're allowed to use that word about a king, I think.
He could call him a retard.
King Retard the First.
That's his name.
Why is his actual name?
So you would say it the way you're saying it now, just very matter-of-factly. Yes, we have a retarded king.
Yes, and I don't even know which king he's talking about, but he's still on the mark.
I forgot.
Yes, because if you know a bit about European history, the First World War, all those countries, they were actually related to each other. You know, the Germans, the Russians, the French, all those royal houses were just cousins fighting.
They'd all be banging each other. All the different family members. Yeah.
So ours comes from the Habsburgers, which is like, it sounds German because it is basically. But they changed their last name to Of Van België, so of Belgium. That's their name officially. King Retard of Belgium.
The first.
No, but the current one, they're okay, I guess, but they're more like jesters than anything else because they cost some money, but some people, they get consolation out of it. And that's why we pay them. But they don't have any power. But officially, they do have to sign every law.
Do they do anything like with the prime minister, like in England?
Do they know how to write their own name?
Just X marks the spot.
Just Crayola.
Actually, because it's a little bit of an anecdote, not really funny or anything, but we had a big thing in Belgium once when we passed the first abortion laws, and the king, who was very religious, didn't want to sign it, but he had to by law. So he just denounced his throne for one day, and then they passed the law, and then he became king again. That's a Belgian solution.
That sounds like a plot of a movie. Like he says, I'm not king for a day. And then all of a sudden he gets into.
All of a sudden, like the Fresh Prince like of Bel-Air person. Accidentally gets anointed king, or like John Goodman becomes.
Exactly. The day after would be really funny. If king like, yeah, Ralph. You could just stay over there. What? No.
The pro-life retarded king.
So. Exactly. Wow. But so, yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess, but it's okay. I mean, we live fairly good lies. We're just really
well. That's what that's
you got all those waffles.
That's
and
why
chocolate.
We're interested. It seems like such a well put together country, and I think it obviously is. but let's go. I want to go back to the beginning. Just
we're
for
not
context.
Switzerland, right? We're the other small country in the middle of Europe. You're confusing us with Switzerland now.
Very often, yes. Yeah.
No mountains.
We just assume all those chocolate. Countries in that part of Europe are well run. We don't actually know. But
which one? What's the country where they sing in the mountains? You know?
I think it's Sound of Music, you mean?
The Sound of Music.
That's either Switzerland or Austria.
Yeah, one of those.
Austria,
two.
Probably.
I think it's Austria.
Nazis
think,
and Germans. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you're right. Nazis love to sing.
Yeah.
Were those Nazis singing in the mountains?
Don't you remember the Sound of Music?
Sound of Music is Nazis singing? It's been a long time since I've seen it.
It's about, aren't there Nazis in there?
I don't know. Like, I've never seen
yes,
Sound of Music.
Wait,
see,
so the
right?
family skipping through the mountain, those are Nazis?
Not that family, but their father or something. Okay, now it's been too long.
This is some great history of Sound of Music.
It is. Look it up, man. There's something going on with Nazis invading a country. They have to flee, right?
What's I think they fled the Nazis. I don't think they were the Nazis. I don't think we're celebrating Nazis wait, well, in the Sound of Music.
Have you seen Heidi with her curls?
Yeah, they're escaping. He's ordered to commission. He opposes the Nazis, so that's why they're escaping. Oh,
yes.
Captain Van Trapp.
Yeah.
So
okay.
he's, yeah. That's easy to get
cleared that up.
We've cleared up okay. Captain Van Trapp's
well, because
name.
My mother, Myrna Sparks, loves the Sound of Music. I didn't realize she was a Nazi.
Well, the Swiss.
Their music's good. Let's be honest.
Okay.
So I want to ask. So how did Belgium, 1830 is when the country was created, right?
Yeah.
How do
created.
You take
like
these three
independent? Yeah.
Independent. How do you take these three, like what seemingly like, no offense, but territories that shouldn't go together at all? A bunch of French people, a bunch of German people, and then a bunch of Flemish. Have we even decided yet? Is it called Flemish or Dutch, the language?
Yeah. Flemish is like Flemish and Dutch is like British English and American English.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Like we understand them, but they not always understand us.
So even in your part, in the north, some of the people speak Flemish, some speak Dutch.
Only wealthy Dutchmen that moved over here speak Dutch, but it's the same language. We have the same dictionaries. We just use different words.
But Flemish is the name of the language.
Flemish, if you're very Flemish inclined, but the dictionary would say Dutch.
Got it. Okay. And
Flanders.
So yeah, how did all three of these get put together?
Do you know how the revolution started, by the way, how we declared our independence? What happened? Do you know that story?
No.
We don't know anything.
It happened after an opera.
Oh, very civilized.
People went to an opera called Le Muet. I know it in Flemish, De Stomme van Portici. So the mute from Portici.
Okay.
The title of the opera. And apparently they got so angry that they just declared independence. And that's how Belgium
that's
started.
That's how bad it was?
Yeah.
Because the opera was terrible or because it was inspiring? It was about revolution?
I have no idea.
Booth involved?
I have no idea. Everybody knows the story, but nobody knows what the opera was about. It's a bit John Wilkes Booth, yeah, except
declared independence from who? From the Netherlands?
From the Netherlands, yes, mainly.
Okay.
But actually, we're just used mainly as a buffer between France, Germany, and the UK, who couldn't stand each other. So they put Belgium.
They didn't want the French to get too close, right?
Basically. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Because back then, France is powerful.
That's where it all started. And there's also the story about the Belgians being more Catholic and the Dutch being Protestant. So there's a thing. They used some religion as well to declare independence there. And of course, the South was being oppressed by the North. If you still had the 13 provinces, they were called the Netherlands together. Yeah. Mm. And so there was a cession, but it seems a bit odd that a part of the French speaking part would be there. But back at those days, the elite spoke French. So also in Flanders, rich people, bourgeois spoke French. They still do actually. And the populace spoke Flemish or Dutch.
Okay. Different so languages. Then when you say they be like seceded or declared independence, who's they?
They would be the people who called them the Belgians. And
okay.
The oppressor would be the Dutch king, I think Willem van Oranje. So Willem the Orange, maybe a Trump.
Oh, the Orange. Yeah, the Protestant.
Yeah. I don't know.
As, yeah.
Yeah.
And we also had orange dictators, just like you guys. We also had some orange dictators in the past.
Hey!
Sorry.
I liked William Orange, but
he's also a Protestant.
Good guy.
So then, all right. So these people in Belgium were like, we don't want to be part of Netherlands anymore. We're out. It's 1830. You know, it's 1830. Yeah. Like how people say it's 2023. It's about time.
Yeah. It's about time.
They're like, listen, it's 1830. It's time to move
1832,
on.
1832, I think it was.
It's time for the Flanders and the French to put.
And then they said, French, come along with us. Or who stepped in and was like, we need a buffer between France and all these countries, you know?
For accurate details, you should ask a historian. But
no, we don't
do that here. We don't want accurate details.
As these kingdoms were all related, they probably just had like a family powwow and said like, all right, these guys don't get along, so just put something in between. And then there was, of course, the oppression of the Belgians, let's call them that, by the Dutch mainly.
Okay.
Under the form of taxes, I would presume. That would be the main... Yeah. That's what oppression is. It's always about like if you're rich.
It's always about money. Enough. And that's so how then we start. They.
By the way, don't take this as an historical. I'm a comedian, right? I'm not a historian.
Trust me, we've done 308 of these episodes. No one takes it. This is the whole concept is to get a fun overview of what's going on. And, people are interested, they can look it up later. This isn't The Economist magazine.
Right, sure.
Those historians are
but opera. Opera is what Belgium got started, man.
We also do find on this show that oftentimes we're more accurate than the New York Times.
Yes. Is that hard? Yeah. Is that a challenge? No. I'm joking.
So it was opera. So then, as you just mentioned, from what we read, French were actually... So currently, it seems like the money is in the north, right? And the industry and the wealth.
And it used to be in the South. Actually, that history is quite similar to that of the United States, where the wealth used to be in the South. Mm. And then after the Industrial Revolution, the wealth became more focused in the North, right?
Yes.
And it's often like that because you joked about it in the beginning, and there's more countries. Italy has the same thing where the South is more impoverished and the North is more wealthy.
Well, here they had a free labor force in the South that helps.
And they were skating by for a couple hundred years.
Uh-huh.
But, people who like just were interested in working for free.
Exactly. Yeah. Boatloads were coming in. Apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
Strange. Yes, that helped along. We got it wasn't slavery, but it was underpaid migrant workers that also made the coal mining industry in the South of Belgium very wealthy in the beginning.
Okay.
Coals and iron.
And so at some point that flipped.
Yes, exactly. And that's where the story gets a little bit, where I lose my sympathy a bit, because in the past there used to be like a real, also a cultural oppression of the French over the Flemish. Like education was only in French. You couldn't get a job unless you were French speaking. There are tragical stories. They're a bit... apocryphal, but about Flemish soldiers in World War I being ordered in French, didn't know what the orders were. And then they said, et pour les Flamands, la même chose. So they said in French, and for the Flemish, the same orders. And that's how you went into battle.
Oh, geez.
It could be a bit mythical, you know, because it also fuels this myth of Flemish rebellion, which has been true in the past. But where they lose me today, this is why I lose my... it's not a rebellion anymore because it's the richest part. So now they just want to be independent so they don't have to pay for the I should say poorer South, because some of the tax money on the federal level goes to the South, of course. And then you have the stereotypes of the lazy Walloons and the hardworking Flemish, and politicians, as you very well know, thrive on that division.
Sure.
So if you don't have migrants, blame it on the French speaking part.
I mean, The Italy analogy, it's like they make it seem like, well, in the South, it's warmer. People are lazier. That's the whole thing. But what's the difference in Belgium? It's not like a difference.
Actually,
the country's pretty small. The South and North isn't.
It's tiny. You cannot travel more than 120 miles without leaving Flanders. And you can't travel more than 200 miles without leaving Belgium. That's the longest in a straight line you can possibly go.
Wow.
So it is tiny.
But and Kaplan, go ahead.
We have like the double amount of Belgians than Norway or Denmark or Ireland, you know, which is 10 million. It always amazes me. Like, we look up to countries like, wow, Ireland, it's huge. Of course, it's an Anglo-Saxon country, but still, it's pretty, like 11 million in European terms is quite a lot of inhabitants still. Hmm. But the interesting part, if you live in Belgium, is there is sort of a cultural divide in that the north of Europe is more like the Scandinavian stereotype. If you know what I mean, like the rational, probably hardworking or egalitarian.
Happy. They're always happy, they say. Happiest countries.
Exactly. Yeah. Denmark, I believe, happiest country in the world. Maybe because they don't dare to answer otherwise on the census. Also,
sure.
But say y'all happy. Okay.
I can't South, like anybody who's too happy.
Yeah. Like the Swiss. Never trust the Swiss.
No, I can't trust them.
But the South of Europe is more like Spain, Italy, Greece, the Latin countries, right? Like they're more laid back, more debt, of course, party.
Better food.
And of course, there is something to say for that because it is hotter and we don't have air conditioning as much as they have in the States. So there is a cultural difference. And that line actually runs sort of through Belgium. Mm. So Flemish people tend to be more like the Dutch, more like the Scandinavian part. And Wallonians do tend to be more like the French and the Latin part of Europe. So that divide, actually, it is true that there is sort of a cultural divide. But I personally think that's no reason to assess because we live in a European Union globalized world. Like Brexit showed, it's not always a very good idea to declare independence, is it?
Oh, and I want to say, I was just listening to your set on BBC, on the BBC.
Yeah,
the BBC talking about Brexit. And I noticed, so I was on stage last night and Brexit came up. I was talking about Brexit. Okay. And because some of the people in the audience were from England and I was like, oh, I was just in Europe. And I was like, oh, wait, I wasn't where you were. I was in Europe. You know, like you guys aren't part of Europe anymore. And they booed me.
Yeah.
The British people booed me. And I'm like, I wasn't the one who voted for Brexit.
Brexit or against it? They were
like, don't boo me. Boo yourselves. They were booing me because I said they weren't part of Europe. You're the ones who voted to get out. I didn't make that happen.
Exactly, but it's only 51%, right?
Who voted. Yeah, but it's not. I'm 0% of me. And I'm just reporting the facts.
Probably not the people with passports that voted for Brexit as well.
Might be true, but it definitely wasn't me. That was my point on stage. I started yelling at these people. They liked it. They thought it was funny. But I noticed that when you brought up Brexit on the BBC, they started booing as well.
Probably, yeah. But actually, you know, that said, I don't know which part was still recorded because it's on YouTube, right? I don't know if those jokes were included, but I ended somewhere. I did that joke on a European summit as well, and some Brits were very offended by a part. I said, "What are you going to do with your new freedom? Serve beer with no collar on it, like with no."
No foam on top.
Top, exactly. Or let your teeth grow in all different directions. You were already doing that. And they were very offended about the teeth part. That was like the most sensitive thing of
this
whole
thing. This is very bizarre. Do you know that I learned? So we grew up just with like a very basic joke that the British people had bad teeth.
Yeah, right? It seems like hacked to even say that as a joke.
It's just known.
Totally, right?
Yeah.
It's known. Once I started living abroad and becoming friends with a lot of British people, they've never heard that joke. They were like somehow insulate. Like I remember bringing it up to multiple British people and they're like, what? That's not true. We have bad teeth. I'm like, that's what the whole world says about you. I've never heard that. And my friends weren't even offended. They were just like kind of baffled. They're like, what? I've never heard that. Somehow I'm like, have you never seen The Simpsons? It's on like every other episode.
I know. It's like you said.
Speaking of Flanders.
It's a hack joke about the past. I don't know why. Probably grew out of something. But
so maybe they had never heard it.
It's like Europeans not using deodorant, you know, that might have once been true in the past.
Yeah, French girls don't shave their armpits. You know, there's just some basic jokes that we all agree.
Which are not true, but you could use the stereotype. Yeah, exactly. I did a part on that on Brexit, and there you go. Now I can't order anything from eBay without paying import duties. So thanks, guys.
All right, we gotta take a break, everybody. We'll be right back in a minute. We are part of the world's smartest podcast network. That is us. That is the Lost in America right here. That is the Majoring in Everything podcast with Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy, stand-up comedian Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy. Also, until very recently, she was a professor at New York University. She left under her own accord. She did not get fired. And she will be with us very soon doing, I believe it's next week, actually, next Thursday. What date is that, Cap? You look that up?
I believe it's on August 30th, right?
August 30th, we're doing an off-the-record podcast with her for our Patreon subscribers only. That means this will not be recorded. It'll be on Zoom in a Zoom meeting at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on August 30th.
Which is a Wednesday.
Patreon subscribers invited only. Andrea will come on. She'll talk all about academia in America what it's like to work at a top flight university that she has recently left, and all the controversy and everything that surrounds that these days. That is, well, hers is the Majoring in Everything podcast. Yeah. And we have Professor Andrew Eaton and Political Orphans podcast. He's not actually a professor. We just like to call him that. Political Orphans. You can get all those at worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com. And now, Kaplan, a word from your local sponsor.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we're back.
Thank you, sponsors. And, you know, you should have tooted our own horn. We were named Amazon educators. You told me before we've been designated. So we get the world's smartest brain as well. We're pretty.
Yeah. To translate that to English, what Kaplan's saying is that starting August 28th, Amazon Music, that platform, whatever they are, have picked us, Lost in America podcast, yeah, to be featured on the front page of their education podcasts.
We are, yeah,
section, which we never in our life have thought of ourselves as educators. As we said earlier in this episode, Michael, we're here just to have fun and talk about things that are going on in the world.
Now we're educating the world.
We never put pressure on ourselves to get the facts correct. We do the best job possible. We're just comedians talking. Amazon Music has decided not only are we educators, we're some of the best in the world. So they're putting us on the front page for 2 weeks. Starting August 28th, we'll be featured on the front. So I assume this episode will
be educating the world. So these are now facts. Whatever you're saying, about that, the pressure is on. Everything you say now going forward.
Yeah, not to put more pressure onto you. But I had a comedy question. So do you tour, do you go through the whole country? Like,
right, because you said touring through Europe, that would have been fun. But I mainly just tour Flanders, which is really weird if you come to think of it, because we're only 6 million people.
Yeah,
it's basically like being like a New York based comedian and only working in New York. I used to work in the Netherlands as well, but a lot of my comedy the past 10 years, I did a yearly satirical show about the past year. It's called New Year's Conference. It's called.
Oh, cool.
And so a lot of the references were political about Flanders, so it was hard to tour in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. That's why I was based mostly in Flanders. But
do your comedy in Flemish?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's slightly different. So you can play with differences, but that feels a bit hack as well. So if you if I play in the Netherlands, I have to like really use words that I know they will understand, which sometimes is funny. It's mm-hmm. like the small differences. You know,
and what about like the French part of Belgium?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever go do shows down there, or are there? It's like a totally different scene.
It is a totally different scene. It's more sparsely populated as well. There's only 3.5 million Wallonians, I think, and they tend to be more like into the French type of comedy,
yeah,
which is more vaudeville, I would say. There's stand-up is very recent in France and the south of Belgium, mainly imported by comedians from the north of Africa, like Morocco, Algeria, living in France. They got the real Anglo-Saxon stand-up style going on in France. And now you see in France, if you check on Netflix, I think it's up and coming, but very recent.
Yeah.
In Belgium, we tend to, like Flanders was more the Anglo-Saxon style of stand-up comedy and started booming about 2005 or six.
Okay.
So quite recent as well. Like stand-up and jazz are the only, I would say, Native American art forms.
Yeah.
I mean, well,
uniquely American art form.
Uniquely, not Native American.
Not Native American.
in the States. All right. So
it is true. I go to Australia usually once a year to do comedy. The comedians are all great. The comedy clubs are all awesome. The audiences are a little confusing. This is what I always get after the show. They'll come up to you and they'll be like, "Hey, you're pretty funny for an American. You were great." Or they're like surprised that an American can be funny on stage. In Australia, the audiences, not the comedians, not the clubs. But okay. And they're always like, they've somehow decided that they invented stand-up comedy. And it's like surprising that we would be good at it. I think because the only shows they get from us are like The Big Bang Theory, you know, like these broad sitcoms or like Friends or something.
Surely they've seen some Pryor or Hicks or something from the past, right?
I'm saying comedians know all that, but like the average audience, they literally just see like some sitcom, and the ones that make it all the way to them are not like the real funny ones. It's like the one
of Seinfeld.
And so they kind of think we're just like hacks, you know? And so they're always like almost after every show, they're usually it's like the older audience members will be like, hey, you're funny and you're an American. That's crazy. And I'm almost like, you would never go up to like an American jazz artist in Australia and be like, you got to play jazz and you're an American? How would that even be? I'm like, this is one of the only things we invented, you know, or one of like our main inventions. It's like Levi's, jazz, and comedy. That we know how to do. But so.
And brilliantly. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, the founding fathers of comedy are all American, right?
Norm MacDonald is Canadian. Yeah. Norm MacDonald is Canadian. He's the best of all time. But besides him,
we got Bill Cosby. He's American, though.
Dr. Bill Cosby.
Excuse me. You got your own rapey comedians. That's good. Yeah. Oh, man.
So why do... So what this whole thing, it seems like every once in a while, there's a movement to go independent or to break apart, right? Mm-hmm. And this new one is coming from like a young right-wing party.
It's a nationalist right-wing movement.
Right-wing guy? I forget his name.
Well, now we're going into more like opinion territory maybe than factual, that's hard to say. But I would say, however, that the funny part is that it really started out of oppression and actually rather left-wing, like the original parties that wanted independence in Flanders was called the Volksunie, like the Union of the People, basically. Okay. So
like
there you get it.
Like
already.
A socialist.
Socialist, yeah. But not American socialist, European socialist.
Right, that's real socialism, not our
favorite. Yeah, not communist socialism, but just like pay some taxes and have some rights for your workers, like basic. But I would say that the real... There's always been a far right independence movement in Flanders, but that was marginal. That was like the Tea Party or something like that, you know?
Yes.
Like pretty marginal in the beginning. But then we've had a very charismatic leader past few 15 years who did a game show, became very popular, and actually basically started his own party and became one of the largest of Belgium. Very popular.
He was a game show host?
What?
No. He participated on a quiz called the Smartest Person.
Oh, like it was like if Ken Jennings, like the Jeopardy star.
He did well on Jeopardy, and now he...
it's a cooler quiz than Jeopardy, but he was very funny on it. He's very intelligent as well. He's called Bart De Wever. He basically, I think he founded the party as well, the NVA, the National Flemish Alliance.
Yeah, that seems like the main...
new Flemish Alliance.
That's like the main right-wing party now, right? That's like
It became the main right-wing party. Okay. It started out of like a cultural, like we want independence and more, pay less for the balloons maybe, and it turned into more like a, I would say like a neocon or a neoliberal party of the wealthier Flemish
people. Center-right.
But like all politics, you know, it's more personality driven than ideology because we have lots of polls and we have... obligatory voting, so we know the difference between what people think and what people vote, and there's like a 30-40% difference between people's opinions and who they actually vote for.
Yeah, that's
how
here.
Politics works.
Do they usually vote more conservative than they say in the polls, you mean? Or
it's like the number one like the foundation of this party, the NVA, is an independent Flanders. Mm-hmm. And I think they have about 38% of votes or something. Like it's like the largest party. But if you ask voters, do you want Flemish independence? Only, I'm going to mix up my percentages, but like 10 or 50% will say, yes, we demand independence. Mm. So it's a very big difference between the number one party points and the actual people behind it. But that's just how politics works, especially these days. It's personality driven.
According to them, what would be the advantages of independence?
Yeah.
Is it? I read that there's like a migrant crisis. Is that true?
Is there though? Really?
Right.
No, I don't know.
I'm curious about because we have migrants here. I didn't know if the same migrants are making it over to Europe.
And I don't even know where are people migrating in from?
Yeah,
is this French people. coming well, in.
That's the there you go into demagogue style, because there are a lot of immigrants. But if you actually look at the numbers, then the largest group of immigrants are Dutch from the north.
Okay.
So wealthy Dutch people living
right. They're not counting those people though, right?
That's not the people they're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
yeah.
intra-European migration. So from like Poland and Romania to Europe, to okay. Belgium.
Right.
They are Europe, of course. Mm. And of course, there is a large there is a part of sub-Saharan Africa and Northern Africa migration. That's the migration they're talking about. Because now we have Ukrainian migration as well. That's also not the people they're talking about. They're talking
about interesting. They don't mind the Ukrainian people.
They don't mind. Not at all. That was.
What's the common denominator here? It's really hard to figure out. Africa.
Yes. Yeah. Strange.
Okay. Got it.
And Muslim, of course. So religion as well.
Oh,
That's what it's all fueled about. And it was called a crisis back in 2015.
Right. When Syria was it? Yeah. Everyone was leaving.
Exactly. Yeah. And then there was a rather large influx. But if I get my figures correctly, we're talking about like 50,000 people, which is that's a lot, but it's not a crisis.
Well, you're a country of 12 million though. So like if we it's kind of like New York, what do we? Yeah, actually, it isn't that much. You're right. That's not a lot at all.
It's enough to stir people. It's always been about migrants, hasn't it?
I mean,
so, but they have like a, I wouldn't say far right, but more, we call it radical. Radical right is the nice word for further right, right?
Yes. I've noticed recently that people, politicians, if they don't want to, if the facts do not back up their opinion, like a fact could be, well, we have a country of 12 million and we have 8 million new migrants coming. So mm-hmm. people are like squeezed or they have less money. Mm-hmm. But if the facts don't back that up, if there's only like 50,000, what they'll say is they won't say people are, they'll say people feel.
Yeah.
So they'll people feel less safe.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's no way. Yeah, but that doesn't. Yeah, exactly. And,
but shouldn't you base policy on feelings?
Yeah. I noticed like 10 years or so ago or less, I don't know, American politicians started saying that to back up whatever their opinion was. Like in New York City, people don't feel safe anymore. But if you look at the facts, like there's way less crime than there was 20 years ago. But it's not based on facts. It's how people feel. And then therefore you can say whatever you want.
That's everything. I mean, that's
of course, the less crime you have, the more people get sensitive to every criminal fact occurring. So there's like a negative
relation.
Well,
with the internet, you're aware of absolutely everything. Now.
You're aware of any crazy thing that happens anywhere. Exactly.
Yeah, so Say, oh, a broken window. Wow, this neighborhood is going down the drain.
And you're probably aware of like in France when they have actual problems with like North African, like there was like those riots. Like they have things that happen, and I'm sure then it people in Belgium, they take advantage of that, right? The far right, they say, oh, that's going to come to us next. Or
yeah. And there are, of course, Brussels has its problems, of course, and lots of cultures do tend to clash. It is easier to have just a monocultural country. True.
Yeah.
But the future, I think, that's my opinion, is going in the other way. But mainly migration is, of course, crossing a line, and where you draw the line, that makes the migration, right? So we now have a big thing about money, transfers of money going from Flanders to Wallonia. That's only because you're counting them. If you have Belgium, there is no transfer. So once you get an independent Flanders, that means you're going to have transfers from Antwerp to Brussels and to other cities. And you just draw a line and then you create new migrants.
Yes.
You're going to get migrants from within your country. So it's the same in every country. And they tend to, in my opinion, use division to gain more votes, because that is the,
of course,
that's the modern way to get elected.
So if there was an independent Flanders, how would that even work? As far as like with the EU, have they thought about any of these issues? Or
it would exactly work like Brexit. Like it would probably not work. Mm. And we will just look for a different problem. I used to do a bit about the thing is the reason why we didn't have a government for 541 days is because we have so few problems in this country that we invent our own problems, because the same person has to have some problems.
Yeah.
Nobody has no problems. Only people living in mental asylums have no problems, right? Every sane person has some problems. And when you solve those problems, could be anything. I want a new house. I want a new job. This relationship is not working. Solve that. You won't be happy. You will just create new problems. Mm-hmm. And one of our problems is we have to make Flanders independent. So I think in a current global world, that's not going to change anything. But hey, elections are coming up, so who knows what'll happen.
2024
is doing the same thing, right?
Yeah, there's this 2024 is the election, and there's one party. What's it called?
The NVA is gonna. There's an idea they might like unite with the more far right party. What
are they called? The Vlaam Belang.
Yeah, how do you pronounce
the
that?
Vlaam Belang. Yeah,
Vlaam Belang.
Vlaam Belang. That's Vlaam the far Belang, right. The far right.
Flemish
party,
Mathers. They changed their name from Vlaams Blok, Flemish Blok, to Flemish Belang because they were.
To bling.
The judge called them racist, so they were
just changed their name, and now we're not racist anymore. We have a new name.
Exactly. Yeah.
Rebranding.
New name. Rebranding. That's literally what they did.
Job done.
Because they were convicted of racism. Oh. But that's the far right party, and there is such a thing like it's called subject ownership. No, topic ownership. I think. Like you see this happening all over the Western world, at least like parties. You see the right is coming up and right is rising. So other parties are looking and using the same language or trying to adopt some of those points. But since it's the far right that started with migration, they get the most benefit of a shift in political feelings toward that. So that's a bit what's happening here. The far right is being fed and getting bigger because the center right is using similar words and sentences.
So because in the next election, because it's getting more popular, they could, because they've made this like threat, like we're going to unite together and we're going to do Flemish. We're going to really do it this time. And how would they, there's no referendum or anything. They claim they could just declare it. And then, but then who's in, what country are they running then? And who's in charge of the rest of Belgium?
they couldn't actually, I think that we still have like a basic law in Belgium, like a constitution.
Yeah.
We have one of those. So
it's not really enforceable. It's sort of an empty.
If the balloons think it's they want to do it as well, but they don't, of course, then you could, in theory,
you could agree.
It's not. It's never going to happen.
And people in Flanders don't like. No, the regular people don't even if they vote for NVA, they don't want to.
Of course not.
They don't want this.
Of course not. I mean, no, totally not, because this is just going to cost all of us a lot of money. Like Brexit is costing a lot of English and UK people a lot of money. You know, there you go. Scotland, that's a different story altogether. Scotland wants to remain in the EU and who wants to secede from the UK. That's getting more dangerous because they actually... And also, that referendum started as a joke, right? The
Scottish
Brexit
one?
Referendum.
The Brexit one, yeah.
The Brexit one, yeah. It was just, what's his name, trying to appease the people that, all the referendum.
David Cameron,
exactly. Yeah. And then the day, I remember seeing the news and all those guys the day after Brexit referendum went like, we won?
Damn, shit! That now what do you do?
Yeah. Now what?
It was like the Trump presidency. That was a joke, and then he was president. You know, that's the
exactly.
That's why you got to take everything seriously now. You say it's probably not going to happen, but and you never know. You might wake up one day and it's Flanders, is Ned Flanders country.
People just wanted to say fuck you to the government, and then that ends up in this is legally binding. Damn.
Yeah. Now we're in
Here
charge
we now. Yeah.
And are there like natural resources or anything in the southern part, in the French part, that you would just be giving up?
We got some comic book writers, but that's about it, I think.
where do the chocolates like come? Where do the good chocolates and waffles come from? Are they just
the Congo? Chocolate, cocoa beans,
the Belgian
from,
Congo,
like, Africa. So no, not anymore. No, it's just so we live
not
in
a lot down
in a, like,
there. I'm trying to help them out, but they're not making it easy here.
They'll get along.
What about Brussels? What would happen to Brussels in a?
We got beer.
Oh, that's a good question.
Brussels is the keystone. Brussels is probably the reason why Flanders hasn't seceded from Belgium. Because if Flanders got independent, then we wouldn't have Brussels. And that would be like, you can have the north of the US without New York. But the government is there. The financial world is there. Europe is based there. And in Strasbourg, by the way, Europe in itself also has like, it's the same government, but they have to... convene in two different places to appease everyone.
Yep.
But they would have to let go of Brussels, and that's not viable, so it's not going to happen.
But on a map, geographically, Brussels is in the north.
The middle. In the middle.
It's like the dividing
point. Right in the middle? They put it.
Yeah, it's like a baby that two parents
like Washington, D.C.
don't
the
want
way
to
just...
go.
Oh.
So yeah, it's not in that way. It's not like New York. It's more like
Washington,
D.C. in the middle.
As Kevin said.
Yeah.
It's like D.C. was in the original America. Yeah.
Yeah,
but Washington D.C. is not a state. It's just its own. So is Brussels kind of the same? It's not part of the North or the South. It's just
true.
Its
own thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's its own independent entity almost.
Yeah, except that's a hard one.
Buildings in the South, I think. Some parts
so
of
Jean
it.
So Jean-Claude Van Damme would not be part of the North or the South. He would, isn't he the muscles from Brussels?
He's from Brussels, yeah. We would have to let go of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Can we make a North Brussels and a South Brussels? Can we divide the city into...
Put a wall in? Those usually work.
Build a wall in Brussels?
Like Berlin.
Like Berlin.
That worked out really well.
Yeah. No way. Yep, we got a wall. It's called like a... It's a ring road. So that's really hard to get past. It's like the biggest car park.
Ring road. Do you think that... Europe. So what are the chances of this independence happening? Pretty
like
low.
For real?
Yeah, for real.
You know,
give us a high number.
If you asked me 10 years ago, what are the chances of Trump becoming president? I would laugh and leave this room laughing. So I'm not going to make any predictions anymore, man.
Good point.
It's the same chance of Trump becoming president again.
Yeah.
Of course not, but maybe.
No, now it could happen.
No, that's what I want the takeaway to be, because I feel like everybody, you said you brought up the Scottish independence. Everyone knows about that. Everyone knows, mm-hmm. you know, in America about Puerto Rico. Nobody talks about Flemish. Like this is like, we're giving our listeners something. So I want them to go around and be experts on this topic. And I want them to say there's a chance. There's always a chance.
There's, right? If you guys eat a lot of chocolate, then maybe.
So you hear that, Amazon Music listeners?
Educators. We're educators here.
Crazy.
No,
all right.
Do you perform in Brussels then? Because you didn't. Is that a...
Very rarely, because Brussels is supposed to be bilingual, but it's actually French speaking. The whole scene, there's a small part of Flemish people living there, but it's just
that
a couple of rich houses.
Our listener, Will Prechuk, told us he's a Patreon and he's lived in Brussels and he said there's like no comedy there. So
there's an international comedy scene in English.
Right, not local. Yeah.
Yeah. But because there's a lot of European people from the European Union working there and it's very international. So Brussels is it's a lot like New York in that way. Mm. It's not really a part of the country. It's a little bit of a country in its own. So
how is your... Your English is like a very, very high level. Do you ever perform in English?
Like just once for the BBC. Like in the
that
World
was
Service.
It?
That was the only time.
And you did it on BBC?
Yeah.
Wow. Pressure.
I remember I was called by the BBC. And first of all, the BBC for us is like, wow, it's like the big broadcasting corporation.
Yeah,
like,
same here. Yeah,
sure.
Same.
You want to perform for us? Yeah, sure. It's like BBC World. Wow. How large is your audience? And they said to me like 8 million. I went like, what? 8 million? And then I went to Brussels to record that session. And I said to the producer, like, wow, 8 million people. And he said, what? No, 80 million people.
Wow.
Because it's India. It's all Commonwealth.
It's all
it's
the BBC.
Every country ever invaded by the UK.
Yeah. They even have BBC America, I think. It did for a while.
We
I don't know if it's still around.
Yeah, I don't know if we got the comedy. We'll have to check.
We might have kicked them out like the old days.
Not Russia anymore either. But that was amazing.
RTN.
And is it? So do you speak French or not?
Yeah. You're taught in school. You have to speak both languages.
Okay.
So everyone
has to learn German
languages.
As well?
And actually there is, of course, that's the third official language. So a little bit. But German is very close to English. To Flemish. It's a bit like Spanish is to Portuguese.
Mm. How many languages do you speak?
Four? Six. Seven and a half.
And how many do the average...
Stop, Cap. What languages?
Italian, Portuguese. Six, sorry.
Which ones?
Like our Dutch, English, French, German, Italian, and a little bit of Portuguese.
Amazing.
Portuguese.
But I did, I did some exchange things in Lisbon. You don't have to go far. I can't travel 200 miles without having to speak a different language. So we have to adapt, yeah.
Yeah, I read that 33% of the people in your country, they work in another country. So,
it
makes
sense.
It's
called Brussels. It's another country. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's it too.
True.
So everybody speaks, is that like common that speak like three or four languages in Belgium?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, at least two. I mean, English, of course, and then French probably. And then if you're not from original, I mean, if you're a migrant, then your home country or language as well. So, yeah.
Do you learn English in school or you just pick it up from like Seinfeld?
MTV, actually.
Half
the
people I know from other countries, they're like, oh, I learn English by watching Friends or something, you know? Like,
yeah, because we got subtitles. like that's actually that's the big difference. In France, they just use French actors to voice friends, for example, and we only have subtitles. There's not one movie except maybe cartoons that has like Flemish voices and different actors. That would be really weird.
Yeah.
Same thing in the Netherlands and I think Denmark probably as well. It's crazy. Really funny to see movies like American movies in Germany or in France with like French people talking.
I think those are the two big ones.
Robert De Niro going, what? Comment ça?
It is. I enjoy that when I'm in another country though. Like I'll watch The Simpsons and it just like in the language or something like that. And it is kind of adds something to it. If you've seen it before.
The Simpsons are in English as well. That might be a little bit weird, but
I've seen it. I've been in Paris and it's French actors like doing the voices and you got like a French part. That's amazing. But that's why everyone should vote in your country because if you speak three or four languages, you should vote. You're smart.
Everyone has to vote.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's a smart rule.
Ask me again after the election.
Oh. All right. So 2024, we will know. We will know the answer to what's going on.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have nuclear weapons as well in Flanders or something.
Yeah.
Or we'll speak Russian.
We'll have you back on if you do that. We do that.
Yeah. Do svidaniya.
Thank you. I think that's the podcast. Michael Van Peel. Thank you for doing it, man.
My pleasure, and man.
Yes.
Awesome. Everybody check him out on Instagram, Michael Van Peel, P-E-E-L, at Michael Van Peel. And,
yeah, right. By the way, I should plug this. Yeah, I'm actually working on an English translation of a book called North Cape Stories about people traveling through the North Cape on different vehicles. So that's becoming available in English like beginning of next year.
Very cool. North Cape Stories.
Yeah, I went to my Vespa to the North Cape. That's like the northernmost point of Europe. Uh-huh. And it's a place that people from all over the world just visit. So that's like people on mopeds or just hearses, people on foot. You know, it's a fun place to be.
And you're translating on English?
Yeah, I interviewed those people and I'm translating the book in English right now. It's called North Cap Stories. Stories
amazing.
From the North
you
Cape.
Wrote the book.
North Cap.
No. Yeah. I
oh, I see.
Dakar
you're not just
well.
Doing the translation.
He wrote the book,
the
and now it's already out, I assume, but it's not in English yet. It's coming out
got
soon.
Got it.
Exactly.
Awesome. North Cap Stories. All right, everybody check that out. They can probably get that on Amazon, too.
On Amazon, where we're educators, and you're an educator, too, apparently.
There you are, yeah. Amazing. The best version is already available on Amazon.
Fantastic. That is it. Michael, thanks for doing it. Kaplan, what should we do?
I wish I could say this in another language, but let's get lost.
Get lost.
Drop a death.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.